And happy Mother's Day to all the moms. How many of you are celebrating Mother's Day? Everybody raise their hands. Because if you were born, you have a mama to thank, as far as I know, unless you were dropped off by aliens, in which case, do not acknowledge that. I want to welcome you here today and bless you today. And we're going to focus on a great reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. And so as we come to that word this day, would you just bow your hearts and heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for mom mercies, for the moms that brought us into this world, sacrificed for us so that we could get launched into it. We know that our moms aren't perfect, but they are our moms. And in your perfect design, oh God, we thank you for them today, and we pray that you bless them. And as we give attention to your word this day, as we think about what it means to grow up in Christ, that you would show us that need we have to never stop growing and to never stop growing with each other. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to kind of take the first part of that lesson there that should be in your worship folder. And this opening phrase, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. I want you to think of the Discovery Channel shows where they're showing like birds in a nest, little baby birds, and they're all cute, and all the brothers and sister birds, they're all cuddled together and quiet, and their eyes are closed, and they're sleeping, as we do at VBS camp, at kids camp, one wing on the left and a wing on the right, the little bird sleeps all through the night, right? And then as soon as mama bird's fluttering wings comes in, lands on the side of the nest with a big old dead worm draped out of her beak, what do the babies do? As if they've been awake for an hour, up they come. Their mouths are open, their eyes looking at mama, their necks as long as could be, and they want food. Think of that picture. Think of that picture when you hear these words, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. I feel sorry for dogs. I feel sorry for dogs that are stuck eating the same flavored food for an entire 40-pound bag. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if whoever cooks in your house, husband, wife, kids, I don't know, whatever it is, and all they did was go to the cabinet and took a scoop of dried pellets and poured it on your plate morning, noon, and night and said, enjoy and be grateful. I realized that the other day when I went to Petco and I was looking at the dog food and I said to myself, self, my dog, I think, is getting tired of duck and potato grain-free. I think we need to expand his horizons. And so, what did I get? Lamb and potato and grain-free. And now, we did this on Friday. Now, when Toby, my little puppy, hears the plastic cup going into the new bag of lamb chops and potatoes with a nice little gravy and a little chutney on the side, he comes, then there's no chutney, he comes running, and he can't wait to eat it. And he looks at me and says, thank you. 40 more pounds of this, and maybe you'll give me something else. I want you to think of that reaction, that Pavlovian reaction when you hear these words, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk. There's nothing like holding a newborn baby, and every 2 to 3 hours, that newborn baby, the automatic response that the Creator God has put into it, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're the mom or the dad, that baby starts rooting around looking for its food. I want you to think of all of those things to recognize this vision that similarly we, no matter how mature we are, whether we are the Apostle Peter or a new convert to Christianity, God says to us in Peter's words today, like newborn babies, you too must crave. Be craven, visceral, from your gut, desire that pure spiritual milk. Not just any milk, not just any spiritual kind of insight that you might read on some website from some generalized devotion, but the pure spiritual milk that is connected to the, amen, connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the pure spiritual milk that we are looking at today, that we want to consider. What's the goal of that? That we may grow into the full experience of salvation. Doesn't matter whether you've been Christians for years, decades, or centuries, I don't know. But whatever it is, you still have more growing up to do. The greatest Christian grown-up is the one who publicly declares repeatedly throughout their lives, I still have more growing up to do. I've still not attained the full measure of maturity that I want in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the most heartwarming things about moms and dads, parents, grandparents too, but on this Mother's Day, we'll think about moms in particular, is when children come back home and all of a sudden you flip over and realize, my mom, my dad, they're getting older. The more I treasure their wisdom, the more I want to linger with them at the kitchen table. Abby, our college student, came home this past weekend from college, and we have now kind of a ritual where we'll clean up dinner and you know, and have good conversation, but you know, Abby's been away at college. And as we finished up dinner, we noticed that Abby was not leaving the table anytime soon. I mean, there were times where Renee and I were looking at our watches like, hey, the voice is on here. We got to get, you know, we move this along, Beanie. But it's an amazingly heartwarming thing when you realize that there's still more growing up to do. And no matter whether you're a college student, whether you are in your 40s or 50s with your aging parent, those opportunities you have to have a conversation, to realize that you still have more to learn. As you're raising your older kids, you start talking to your parents about what it was like for them to raise you. And then they laugh, and they mock you, and they say, you get what you deserve, right? Remember that? So that's what we want to do today. We want to embrace this truth, and my question is, how are you growing? What do you crave? Peter goes on to say, cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste that the Lord is kind to you. When you wake up in the morning, what do you pray for? Dear God, make work be better than yesterday. Fair enough. Take care of my kids today. Fair enough. Lord, help me to serve other people. Great. That's an awesome prayer. But let me give you a self-centered prayer that God Himself says is the prayer you ought to be praying according to 1 Peter. Cry out for this nourishment of your own soul. Cry out for God to feed you first. It's like riding in a spiritual airplane and the stewardess, the flight attendant comes to the microphone and says, if there's a sudden decrease in oxygen and the oxygen masks descend, what do you first? Put it on someone else before you put it on yourself. No, God says, make sure you put, vice versa. Put it on you first so that you're not dead by the time you get it on your kid, right? That's how it works. Listen to me, focus. That's the same principle. Same principle, people, all right? And that's the idea here. Pray for yourself when you get up. Say these words, Spirit of the risen Christ, descend on me today. Feed me. Remind me of your words so that as I go out, I can feed others. I can help others. I can serve others. Your service is the second experience. The first experience is the reminder, the pure spiritual gospel that God loves you, is taking care of you. You've tasted the Lord's kindness. We've sung hymns over these past several weeks. Death Was Arrested is a new hymn in our congregation. And we've sang that song. And I know some of you, because of the vision of some of those words, of those lyrics, you've had to stop singing because they've captured your heart and they've changed the way you look at God. That is to say, you've tasted in a new way, in a refreshing way, the Lord's kindness. And because of that, don't stop. Keep on growing up. Verse 4 says, you're coming to Christ. He's the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he's chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you're holy priests. Through the mediating work of Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. In other words, you're not like a stack of bricks, one on top of the other, on top of the other, just going vertical. And you know what happens when you stack things just one on top of the other? Ultimately, the forces of gravity will begin to pull. The slight deviations in level will start to show themselves, and the blocks will all of a sudden just tip over and crash. Not so the temple that God is building you into being, calling you to grow up into. The temple that God calls you to grow up into is an interlocking, interconnected temple. In other words, in order to grow up, you can't do that as a Lone Ranger solo act. In order to grow up, you've got to be interlocked with other Christians. Over the past several weeks here at Concordia, I've been challenging you to consider those with whom you share your Christian faith. And the invitation simply today is to answer the question, who are your most Christian friends? Who with you craves pure spiritual milk? Who with you wakes up every day and says, Spirit of the risen Christ, feed me today. Anoint me with power today that I may live a life that pleases you and may make one more incremental step into the Christian maturity to which you've called me. Who is that person? Because if that person is not in your life, then that should be your number two task after praying for spiritual maturity, is to find those with whom you will share faith. It may be in a Bible study here. It may be through a work relationship where someone at work you know is a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, and you take that person out to lunch and say, look, in the midst of our work, let's make a covenant, a pact, to be more than just co-workers. Let's be co-heirs with Christ of God's heavenly blessing. Yesterday, here at Concordia, we baptized 15-year-old Harrison Paul Sauer. And it was both hilarious and heartwarming. At Concordia, we're typically used to baptizing babies and small children and adults. It's always heartwarming to baptize a teenager who will publicly get up and go against every grain of their being to put themselves in the spotlight and publicly say something about their spirituality and faith. Harrison stood up before the congregation yesterday and said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to publicly identify with that name and the spirit of that risen Christ who lives in me by faith. And as that 6-foot tall young man stood leaning over the baptism font, I splashed water on his head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we publicly put words and actions to the faith that he believes silently in his heart. But one of the great commitments that he makes is not just to be baptized, but in the midst of his own adolescence, to say, I will never stop growing. Even though I may top out at 6'1", even though I may not grow any taller, I know that the strength and the height and the depth of my Christian faith in this life will never stop, should never stop growing. And he made that promise last night to keep that growth going until he reaches the full maturity, the measure of the maturity in Christ. I ask you to do the same. I ask you to be witnesses for our young people in this congregation, our kids, who as they are physically and intellectually and emotionally growing, we give them an example that you never, ever stop spiritually growing. We owe that to our children that God has entrusted to our care, and I ask you to do that as well. It's Mother's Day. We celebrate moms. But we celebrate as well the nurturing, nourishing work of God, our Heavenly Father, who gives us pure spiritual milk by which we may grow up into the full faith of Jesus.